The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Warnings have emerged today about using holiday review sites like TripAdvisor, the consumer organisation which has said that the new TripAdvisor AI review summaries, so these are the things that you see at the top of the review section, that they don't show the full picture and that they can leave things out like hotel food poisonings or unhygienic reviews or claims about hotels. Here to tell me more is Duncan Brumphy, who is Professor of Human-Computer Interaction at University College London. Duncan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for being with us. So I think people, anyone who's used TripAdvisor or any of these sites will probably be familiar with this new feature at the top. And it's really handy, isn't it, where all of the reviews have been summarised by AI and you can quickly read that and get what you think is a snapshot of the place that you're interested in going to stay. Isn't that how it works?
Right, yeah, and I think that is one of the what these tools are good at. They are, you know, good at you give it a lot of information, and it will give you a summary of it. But what is captured is there are judgments in the system there, and based on how it works, that will affect what it then chooses to show you.
So the claims today tell us that the reviews, what's being used for this AI capture of the reviews, are not accurate in some cases. Do you think that could be right?
Well, let's take a step back. I think you've got to understand, the first thing is to think about how these AI tools work at a fundamental level. What they're doing is predicting the next word that comes in a sentence. So as I'm speaking now, your listeners might be thinking what I say next. And so there's this statistical property in our language. And that's what these tools have learned about. And they use that to make predictions. And that's really great because you can then use that for writing an essay or drafting an email. But you can also use that for summarizing like these collection of reviews. The issue comes, though, when you get these really quite serious edge cases of really, you know, quite serious guest complaints, they are really unusual. Right. So they stand out as extreme outliers. They're unexpected. And I think for us as humans, the way that we pay, you know, unexpected stuff, we kind of give more attention to. And I think what would potentially happening here is these systems are kind of giving it less attention. They're kind of gravitating towards the more dominant response. So it's kind of almost it's not ignoring it, but it didn't expect to see that. And so it's kind of chosen to kind of gloss over it in a way.
Because I have seen on these sites, on these AI summaries of reviews, it'll say, guests say this hotel is really good for children, the food is really reasonable, but some people have reported bad experiences with customer service.
And that is the problem with any form of review, isn't it? You have a distribution of scores, you have if you think of it this way, we've done a lot of research around a related problem, which is how AI is being used in the peer review process of scientific manuscripts, which have been submitted for publication. And this is a problem that I'm really familiar with because an editor of a big journal. And you always get a divergence of opinion. You ask 10 people to give an opinion on anything, you'll get some people which are highly positive, many people that just give you a, yeah, this is okay, and you'll get some people which are overly negative. And what these systems struggle with is if that overly negative person, is their complaint a serious, legitimate one, or should it be discarded? And I think that's the tension what these systems kind of run up against, is that when you get extreme reviews, should they be taken more seriously or less seriously? And that's a really hard design choice. And I think that's where judgment, ultimately human judgment, is needed. And that's what these systems have kind of helped us bypass. But in doing so, we've surrendered that judgment process and kind of put it into the hands of an algorithm here, essentially.
So we need to always remember this is not a human we are speaking to or interacting with, even though it often feels like it is.
Well, and that's exactly the issue with the current round. I mean, these, don't get me wrong, I use generative AI tools every day for work and for personal stuff as well. They're really powerful. But there's a real trap here, I think, in the sense that they are designed to be conversational-like. So it gives you the feeling that you are talking to another person, but you're not. You are talking to a system that's been designed by a company, and there are incentive structures there, right? We've learned this with social media as well. Design choices are made. They are, you know, that you're getting something useful out of using it, but they also want you to use it as well. So these things are not they're not value neutral. They are designed products. And don't forget that.
Yeah, and just looking at the TripAdvisor statement here, saying that users can easily click to see the traveler quotes behind each review element or access all reviews for that listing, eliminating any need to blindly trust AI-generated content. So implicit right. in that statement is, we're giving you this summary, but we're asking you to look beyond it, to the actual reviews.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's very good on TripAdvisor, I've always enjoyed, is the distributions of scores that you see. So whenever you look, you'll see there's always a distribution. So we, you know, have a background in psychology, and if any of your listeners have this kind of understanding, you know, we expect a normal distribution or a distribution of scores. As I said earlier, some people will give very high scores, some people will give very low scores, and most people will give somewhere in the middle. And it's useful, I think, when looking at crowdsourced reviews like this. If you've got, say, a hotel that you're thinking of booking, and it's mostly high scores, you get a sense, sample some of those high scores, but then you also want to look at the low scorers as well. So you can often filter and look at the people. So let's say you've got this five-star hotel, everyone loves it, but there's a couple of people that really hated it. Go in there and read their raw review, because that will give you an idea of calibrating yourself, whether they were being reasonable or not. In the vast majority of cases, I feel when I've done these kind of researching our own family holidays, you look in there and you find actually the person was kind of making a lot of complaints over something that's actually not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so then you can choose to discard that. And I think that's the way that these AI tools have potentially been operating as well. But in this situation, which investigation is pointed up to, when you read those low-scoring reviews, which are unusual, they pointed to really serious concerns around health and safety, and that should be taken seriously. Now, of course, can we improve these AI tools so that they can pick up on these signals and take them more seriously? Of course they can. I mean, these are continually evolving engineered products, and you'd like to think they will get better. But in the meantime, we shouldn't suspend our own, critical thinking skills here. Use these tools as a source of information, but also look at what they're summarising as well.
I think if you have that healthy scepticism about the AI summary, you're going into this in a sensible way. But the example that the Which report uses is this hotel in Cape Verde, which is given a pretty glowing summary on TripAdvisor, you know, popular with many travellers, spacious rooms, diverse restaurants and rave reviews, but Which found that there were 102 mentions of food poisoning at that hotel, 32 two-star reviews, reports of dead little roasted mice by the sitting area and raw chicken. I know, raw chicken. So what I would expect if I'm looking to the AI summary is that there would be some indication of that stuff in the summary, and it appears that there wasn't. Yep. That's the problem.
Yeah, so I can't speak to the technicals of how and why this particular case happened. I can just make an educated guess, but when you say it, it's just so out there, right? You know, I don't think most people have not stayed in the hotel where this has been the case, or even read reviews where this has been the case. It's so far into the shocking that it's a bit like come again. And I think that's what you'd expect. As I said, these tools fundamentally are statistical prediction machines. And if you give it such an outlandish, it sounds outlandish, and that's the thing. So it discounts it. Mm-hmm. We've seen similar stuff so as I said, our research has been around looking at how scientists use AI tools in the peer review process. So they're writing their own reviews. And there was an AI conference last year, and they got all their reviewers to put their reviews through an AI tool. And one of the problems is when people write these reviews, you know, that they'll comment on paper, but let's just say they can sometimes use quite strong and blunt language. And that can be quite hard for researchers to receive. You know, we want these reviews to be constructive and friendly in tone. Even when you're saying the work could be improved, you still want to give that with a nice positive tone. But some researchers don't do that. They write quite blunt reviews. And so the AI tools were quite useful in this situation because they actually took the edge off and they almost sanitized it, if you like, is to use a kind of phrase. And that, in that context, that was kind of useful because it kind of, you know, it took what could be an overly harsh review and kind of presented it in a way that was more constructive to the author. But that same, you know, that same tendency from these AI tools has been completely, you know, is not appropriate in this setting, where it's, you know, the raw data, the reviews as written, are pointing to these quite horrific concerns. And it's kind of just almost said, okay, let me just dial that down. You know, I'm sure many of your listeners will experience, if anyone uses these tools for like drafting emails, it often does this. It softens the language often. And that can be useful in some situations. It can make a kind of like a hard message that we want to deliver sound more polite and get that phrasing just right. But I think that same thing that makes it useful here to make everything sound a bit, you know, polite and nice here has really been quite dangerous because it's washed away a really critical safety concern, which should have been preserved.
Yeah. So the bottom line is we have to do the legwork and we have to read the reviews that people have actually written.
Well, yeah. And I think, well, this is the thing. We've new technology, right? And these tools that we make from the Industrial Revolution going forward, we made cars, you know, and this is just the latest development of a technology. And what this technology has done, whenever we make new technology, the technology that's super useful and really changes society, it takes things which used to be hard and makes them a little bit easier. And so this technology has done that. We have things like writing are difficult skills or making sense of a large collection of reviews. That takes a lot of time and effort. So it's made that a bit easier. But in doing so, all we do is shift down the line. There is still hard work. It doesn't make it disappear completely. It just shifts it from where it's happening. So I think, yes, it makes some things easier, but we still have to preserve our own. We have to improve our critical thinking skills.
We do. And we to keep our wits about us, Duncan. I think that's
absolutely
what we have learned. Duncan Brumpy, Professor of Human-Computer Interaction at University College London. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.